Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper.
And we welcome you into Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Is it possible that the Jaguars set their clocks back to the wrong hour this morning? Is that possible? I mean, daylight savings went away, showed up.
Maybe too much sleep.
I don't know. It was not a good performance at home. You can join the conversation at 800-355-NFL1 or via Twitter at Cole Pepper. All right, let's start things off. Do you have anything for us on Marco's money players?
You know what? I do. The punter.
Mr.
Anger. That 73-yarder. Yep. I think he had about a 47-yarder. I think he can legitimately say that he's competing to get into the Pro Bowl. I really do.
He has certainly, you know, listen, if you're going to be a third-round pick, you want to see the guy just crush it, and he does. I mean, he crushes the football.
LSU's got a pretty good punter, too. I think he may be getting
Florida's got a good one.
Yeah. Anger might set the trend. Next thing you know, we're going to see a punter in the first round.
Maybe not on a 1-17. That might not convince a lot of folks to do that, but we'll see how it all plays out. All right, this portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. And we'll give you an injury update now, brought to you by Baptist Health, the Jacksonville Circle of Care. No big injuries coming out of the ballgame. That's a good sign.
Wow, it's
because
first in a while.
The Jaguars don't have too many guys left. However, in terms of guys who have been injured and playing, Derek Cox in there, I don't know if he was at his best. I mean, again, going up against Calvin Johnson, some of those plays were not his fault. Some of them were. I'm seeing on Twitter some comments from guys in the locker room who were saying that the defense really appreciated Cox going out there and playing hurt. So, clearly, he wasn't at 100%.
Well, Mr. Megatron didn't practice all week.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, hey, it's the league, man. You know, appreciating somebody going out there when they're hurt. Man, that's the game. That is the game. That's expected. It's not about appreciating that. That's what you do as a professional football player. Listen, this job requires you in most positions, except for the punters and the kickers, to run full speed into another person. So now, most of the time, that's going to result in some type of pain, injury, even.
Yes.
So, and if you do that continuously, more than likely, you're going to dislodge something. Something's not going to be right.
Yeah.
So, even after you leave training camp, your body's not right. So, I mean, appreciating, I think that's a part of the problem. Appreciating somebody going out there. You're supposed to go out there. If you can walk, if it's not broken, play.
How many years ago was your last game?
2005 was my last game.
So we're talking about 7 years ago now.
7 years.
You got things on your body still aren't right?
I mean, stuff's going to – I mean, I played for 14 seasons in the trenches. I do have some aches here and there. But, you know, I was fortunate, you know, very blessed to not have any major surgeries during the course of my career. But I did things to take care of my body. Yoga, swimming, you know, all those things, you know, you have to do. But to say that I went into the games and I hurt, I played with a dislocated elbow. Mm. I mean, I dislocated my elbow, went out there with a big thing on my arm. Nobody said, Marco, we appreciate you playing.
Well, again, these are guys, media asking about him playing. I mean, it's not like they're coming
out. Come on, man. That's the problem. That's the problem.
What was your playing weight, by the way?
280.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to follow up on that. Okay.
280.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Also on Twitter, at Cole Pepper. Sonny's, get you ready for game day. Two great deals. Game day wings, 40 wings, $19.99. Tailgate package for 4 to 6 people. You get barbecue, pork, beef, chicken, or ribs, plus all the fixings for $39.99. Takeout only, Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We're back with more of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford Dealers. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. What do you say we take some calls here, Marco?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Let's start with Lee on the west side, who's up first here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Lee, what's going on?
Well, it's my old friend, the spin doctor and the straight shooter.
What's up, Lee?
I have an early nominee for Gene Smith Scout's Eye Unsung Hero of the Game today.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the ticket taker at gate two. She's apparently the only one in this organization who's willing to say, not up in here, not in my house.
Did she ever work for the Las Vegas Police Department?
Maybe Reno 911. Seriously, guys, are we on pace here to have the worst home season record in the history of the NFL? I mean, I'm thinking back to the...
You know, the Lions did go 0 for the entire season, home and away, a few years ago. So,
but my goodness, losing our home games by an average of 23 points a game, you got to work hard to be that bad.
It's, you know, in some way you'd feel the same, but in some way you'd feel better if the home results were the road results and vice versa. You know, just so when you come out here and you sit in the stands and you invest a whole day, that at least you get something. Because they've been, I mean, really, you think about it, they've been very competitive on the road. Lose two overtime games, beat the Colts, and then give the Packers all they want in Lambeau. If they had done those kind of performances but still had the same record at home, well, you'd feel a little different about it, but when you play this way at home, it's just, it's demoralizing.
It is.
It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma, but
rich, creamy caramel.
You guys figure it out and let us know. Thanks.
All right, Lee, good to talk to you.
I mean, you know, why it happens at home, I mean, honestly, I don't know. I'm certain that the coaching staff is sitting here going, what are we doing this different? Mm. How can we change things up? I thought it was an interesting comment that Terrence Knighton made to Jeff Loggeman that, you know, use the players only kind of thing, whether that means calling a players only meeting or what. I mean, and we talked about this couple of weeks ago.
It might be that walk that they have to do before the game, all the way that mile walk. Because
wears them out.
Because Dallas is having the same issue because they got to walk a long way from them. I mean, just come out. I mean, I don't know who made that decision to do that. It may have been the guy with the big money, but. Hey, man, you know, that long walk, that may contribute to what's going on. And they've changed where they warm up from one side to the other because there's a lot of things that have been changed here at home out
because
of the
norm. Because they were going so well last year.
But, I mean, they had won more games at home.
That's true. I somehow think the pregame walk may not be – I mean, and again, I've only got 20 years in covering this league, so let me – but it may not be the big determining factor
on this
thing.
You just don't know, man. You never know.
800-355-NFL. Let's go to Ben, who's at the airport. Ben, are you flying in, out, or working at the airport?
No, I just live in the airport area.
I got you.
Okay.
really, I'm calling with two comments. I think that's off the air. But one, a lot of the short yardage pass plays, I'm trying to get a read on if it's – I don't think it's a play calling. I'm trying to get a read on if it's the receivers are just really not getting open. Or is the gap is really that impatient and not letting the plays develop? I didn't see a lot of pressure today at the game. I know it was some, but I think he had enough time to at least try to make some plays downfield. But I just can't get a read on, you know, which side is the issue there.
I think you have I think it depends on the play, but I will say that Mike Mularkey has made mention of this in the recent past about wanting Gabbert to. You know, not have the clock's ticking too fast. Slow down the clock a little bit. Take an extra beat before he dumps it off to the short pass. Because I agree with you. I expected after last week that you'd see more downfield passing, even though I know Detroit's got a good defensive front four, you know, with Sue and Averill and Vandenbosch and that group. I expected them to take some more shots down the field. Part of that, understand, you know, was that they didn't convert any third downs early in the first half. But, you know, take some more shots down the field. Shorts has shown he can get deep. You know, try to get him free. Because right now, when everything is within, you know, 12 yards of the line of scrimmage, you're not going to be able to free up much in terms of that deep passing game.
Too, it seems like the routes that they're running, they're stopping them short from the first down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you got to get five for a first down, I would think that you're going to run seven, then come back, as opposed to running three, catching it, and relying on breaking a tackle in order to get the first down. That's a little bit more difficult, you know what I mean, when you're trying to live. I mean, it happens, but you got a better chance if you can go beyond the yard marker and then come back to the ball.
The other side of that is on a third down play, defenses are going to guard the first down marker, so it's easier to be open and you do want to have one safety outlet, a guy who is, you know, mm-hmm. only, you know, a yard or two upfield. The thing that I'd like to see, and maybe this is about the timing of Gabbert, is rather than having the safety valve, having to turn back over his left shoulder to see Gabbert
leading
when his right shoulder's upfield, have him at least turn around so he gets some upfield momentum when he catches the football.
Lead him with the pass a little bit. Yep.
And I'd like to see a little bit more of that as well. But yeah, Ben, I think you're on something there.
Absolutely. And then one more thing, one of the biggest Gene Smith supporters since he's taken over as GM. But I'm starting to sum his tenure up in one phrase, which is, you know, right philosophy, wrong guys. Understanding he could build from the inside out. I've agreed with the positions of the picks that he's made. But it's clear, fellow, that we are far below the rest of the league when it comes to talent on this roster for some reason, and I honestly can't figure out why.
You know, and obviously, you know, injuries are one of the reasons, but maybe it's not the only one. And as far as the general manager is concerned, again, I'm going to let this season play out. I mean, mm-hmm. let's see what happens, because again, there's no draft next week. They don't have free agency starting in after Thanksgiving dinner. So mm-hmm. let's wait and see how things play out here. I will certainly agree with you on, I think he's got the right philosophy, and there'll be a lot of folks who will look at the record and say otherwise. But
if you consider it, you figure you're losing your top, your running back, he's not out there, and then you got your best linebacker, he's not out there. You got one of your best safeties, he's not out there. Rasheen, starting corner, he's not out there. I don't think there's many teams that can suffer that type of loss, within their team and still be real good. But now there are some, it's all about depth. It's depth. It's about depth, because you can count on injuries when they happen, mm-hmm. and to who, you just don't know.
Ben, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to Saqib, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Saqib, how you doing?
Saqib.
Hey, what's up, boys?
You got it, my man.
Hey, it's so frustrating to me as a fan that I see every team in NFL doing something. I see them playing a lot better at home and playing a lot better. That we're not doing that. I don't understand why when you come to your own house, you don't have to travel, you don't have to be on a plane for hours, you don't have to do all that stuff that the people do when they go off the road. And you're in your own house, and you have your fans behind you. We there for the last few years. We've been there. All the Jaguar fans, we've been there for you guys. And you guys are not playing for us. You guys have no emotion, no leaders. I'm sorry to say that. That's kind of sad to say that we do not have any leaders. I've been a Jackson fan for a long time. Since I came to the United States, I've been a Jackson. But it's so disappointing that we don't have one guy that can say, we don't have a Ray Lewis kind of guy that's going to knock guys around and say, y'all need to get this thing fixed right now. This is getting embarrassing. When people are talking about it, that Alabama can beat us, the college football team, it's getting really bad, and they need to fix this. I mean, I, as a fan, I'm just frustrated that we cannot seem to fix this.
Saqib,
I don't understand. How long does it take? How many years does it take to fix a franchise?
Saqib, I don't know the answer to that question specifically, but I do want to do, I want to do what I can to help make your Sunday a little bit better, if I can do this. I want to give you a set of Teal Deals that you can use for the rest of the season to kind of calm your pain here, try to help make the rest, we're halfway through, to help make the rest of this season a little more bearable for you, save you a couple of bucks here and there. Can I do that for you?
Yeah, man. I mean, I just want this to fix. I just want us to play a little better and get a home win.
Get
it this week for our crowd. This is a big game for us this week, a Thursday night game. Andrew Luck is playing out of his mind, okay? We need to just get these guys together and just give us a win. Something to be excited about in Jacksonville.
I'm with you. And good news is you get a quick turnaround to play on Thursday, and maybe you get something out of that. that's the one quarterback the Jaguars have beaten this year. Just keep that in mind. Saqib, I'll send you some information via email. Got your email address, And right. And we'll get you
thanks,
set up
guys.
There.
I'll see you after this week.
All right.
See
thanks. There's Saqib, who lives and dies. You know what I mean?
True Jag fan. He's still in the paint.
And I get it. Listen.
I do, too.
Jaguars fans have been great. I mean, they have been – you think about cities like Tampa Bay and Miami who go through one or two bad years and they stop showing up. Jag fans show up in a city that's smaller than both of those. Jag fans show up. Today I thought it was a good crowd. People showing up. End of the game was not representative of the attendance there today. I don't even see the attendance numbers. Joey, did they come across to you?
63.
But so, let's say we're talking about 60,000 Jaguars fans showing up for a team that has been outscored now by 23 points a home game, that has one win all year. Jaguar fans show up. I mean, they do. They're doing this,
they're
and all this talk.
They're supporting.
You get all the national stuff with the. They've got tarps. Well, there's a reason for that. You look at the other stadiums in the National Football League that are being built, and they're not being built to house a bowl game and a Georgia-Florida game. The Jaguars fans are showing up, and despite the fact that the team only has one playoff win since 1999, the Jaguars fans keep showing up. Jaguars fans are loyal, okay? And Jaguars fans want a better performance out there.
They deserve it.
And I don't blame them.
I don't either. They deserve it. They deserve it.
And maybe they'll get it on Thursday night. You could be driving a brand-new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. More of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show when we come back. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show brought to you by Iselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. More to come right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show here from Jaguar Central. Joe Fortunato getting... apparently recovering from a bout of scurvy. He's just opened up an orange here in the studio. It smells great. Very citrusy and clean and fresh. Nicely done. I'm glad to see you back after that long trek at sea. Pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations. Learn how you can win a mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary.
Hey, what's the sea captain's favorite letter?
R.
No, I'm sorry, matey. It'd be the C.
you got to laugh to keep from crying. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Mike in Orange Park, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
How you guys doing tonight?
All right.
Could be better.
I just got home from driving home from the game and listening to you all on the way. But I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it looks like we haven't been a good home team for quite a while. It's not new with Mike Mularkey. I mean, what was it, 3 years or 4 years ago, we lost our last three games of the season. We had a chance to make a playoff. And, I haven't had the time, or I'm not even sure I could do it, but to look back and see what our home record has been for forever.
Well, the difference on this one is that they've been competitive in every road game. And
yeah,
they've
exactly.
lost the home games by, you know, an average of now 23 points. I mean, that's the...
Doesn't even look like we're, you know, I don't know whether, you know, I know these guys don't go out and party every night and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but still, it's amazing that they can look so lethargic at home and look so active on the road.
And I'll also say that the most physical teams they've played have been teams they've played at home. I mean, teams like, Detroit today... Houston, teams that play very, you know, either physically or just are terrific teams. I mean, that, you know, Houston is one of the best teams
obviously.
In the NFL.
But yeah, they're
very good. It may be just a coincidence. It may not be something that can be changed. It may just be the way it is. But you have to start looking at it. When you're halfway through the season, you have enough of a sampling size now to say, hey, it's clear all the road games have been competitive, all the home games they've not been. In the final evaluation. Now, that I mean, again, in fairness, against Cincinnati and against Chicago, they were in it, for a big part of that game, and then it fell apart in the fourth quarter. Houston was just outmatched them.
Yeah, we were overmanned with Houston. No question. I mean,
and really today, I mean, you know, 21-0 at halftime.
Yeah. Another question or another thought. my son and I have been talking about this for two or three weeks now, but we look, compared to most everybody else, we look slow.
Yeah.
Slow defensively, offensively. I mean, even our running backs don't look, you know, they're not. Maurice Jones-Drew, he was a bit of a burner a long time ago, but he isn't anymore. But we just don't look like we have a lot of team speed. Our receivers can't get open. I mean,
In particular, you're talking about on offense. And I'll tell you where I think a big part of that is you know, when you learn a new offense, there's a lot more thinking going on. And when you're a young player learning a new offense, you haven't learned how to learn in the NFL yet. So you're kind of learning on the fly, and I think that's impacting the, you know, the speed at which. Because I think you're right about that. I mean, you look at the difference between the amount of space that's created with the in the passing game for Detroit compared to what the amount of space is being created for the Jaguars, and it's pretty dramatic. Cecil Shorts has shown more of that this year, creating space around him running his routes.
He's the only one, really. He's the only guy that we've had for the last few years that can create separation.
Agreed.
Really.
Yep. Agreed.
What about Blackman and dragging his feet? I can't. I don't think I've ever seen a professional football player catch two passes and not be able to get his feet down in bounds when he had a full stride to the sideline.
Well, listen. You know, last week when he didn't do it, you'd say, "All right, he's a rookie. It's one of those things. It's not natural for him yet." But you know that that was something that was going to be discussed this week that they worked on, okay? Now then he has another opportunity to do that, and it didn't look like he even made an effort to get that second foot down. And that's what's going to drive coaches crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going over it, and he's just not following through, and that's an issue.
Yeah. I mean, college kids are doing that now just to make sure when they get dressed.
Right, yeah, some of those guys will get in the habit of it, yep.
And and to let you know, Mike, the since 2003, the home record, including this season, is 43 wins and 33 losses.
Since 2003.
Since 2003.
Post Coughlin.
Yeah, well, everything. I'm taking everything after Coughlin.
Everything after Coughlin. Well, that's not too bad. How's it been over the last 5 years?
Last 5 years has been a little lopsided. But.
Yeah.
No, actually, last 2011, 4-4. 2010, 5-3. 2009, 5-3. This is home, you know, record. And 2008 was the only one where it was two wins at home. And six losses, 2007, six wins, and 2006, six. It's only been one season, surprisingly, that has been, you know, as bad as it is so far this season.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess, yeah, you know, it's just, it was a thought that I had, but this particular year is, it just bothers me that, like the other guy that called in, you know, we sit in the stands. I've been bringing my family and my three generations of family. I'm 76, and we've been there since the beginning, and this is, I don't think the team, when we started, played this badly.
Yeah.
You know, they looked outgunned.
The last time the Jaguars were 1-7 was 2003. So, I mean, again, you go back, that was Del Rio's first year as head coach, so it's been a while for sure.
Yeah.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call.
Well,
I appreciate
thank you,
it.
Guys.
And thanks for bringing the generations to the game. Hopefully on Thursday night, the generations will have a little better time of it. Let's go to Mike on the south side, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Mike, how you doing? Oops. Now we got Mike on the south side.
Hey,
there
Mike.
You go.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I made it down there for the first time this week.
Okay.
And fan experience was pretty decent, but I got an issue with Blackman. We need to put stickers of Grey Goose on the balls and he'll be able to catch.
Oh, baby.
And Marco, if I was player personnel guy, I would have him walk the play. Forget the other walk. You know, his yacht is down there parked on the riverbank. Let's get him, you know, he'll get his toes in when he gets to that plank.
When you get to the end of that plank, huh? Hey, this is when the sharks are out.
There was an old trick that coaches would use when guys would run out of bounds. You know, they'd like put a brick wall right at the sideline so you couldn't go out of bounds. Yeah, maybe you need to do something.
Man.
It baffles me, though, that a guy who's got his, you know, talent, top 10 pick, number 5 pick in the draft, doesn't make that adjustment from 1 week to the next.
Yeah, I mean, you got go ahead, Mike.
I think we need to bring back Baselli, Marco, some of the old blood to coach these guys. I think that's what we need. That's the bottom line. It looks slow.
You've got plenty of blood in there coaching. I mean, you got Spicer and you got Marlon McCree and you've got guys who played the game. I mean, that's not what's. It's again, You don't see it because you can't go out to practice and so forth. It's not that the coaches aren't seeing that. Coaches know that, Jerry Sullivan, who's been doing this for longer than I've been alive, knows that a guy's got to get 2 feet in and knows how to teach that. Sometimes it's got to be on the player.
Yeah, sometimes at some point the player's got to take the onus in this deal. And in this game today, especially on the defensive line, it wasn't nothing the coach can do. When you got a man in front of you that's just completely kicking your butt, ain't nothing I can do as a coach. Nothing at all, yeah. Man. Nothing.
Mike, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Frank's on the south side and is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Frank, how you doing?
Good. Doing all right. Keep the faith, guys. I had one comment on Mercedes Lewis, who to me should be our Rob Gronkowski. This guy has tremendous physical skills. He seems to match up against the cornerbacks and safeties and even linebackers well. And he plays okay. I saw him break a tackle today, which was great, but I don't see that very much. And I think he should just be a great player based on his physical skills. I don't understand. Do you guys
have you been attending the online courses at Marco Coleman University? Because
I agree
Marco
with you
had been 100%. On that bandwagon for a long time.
Yes, I really do think he should be a lot more dominant, than what he's been showing. I just don't understand why that's not the case. I even saw on the NFL Network, Donovan McNabb made the comment that the tight end is like the safety blanket of a quarterback. And here it is, a guy that's been successful in this league, that understands, has played the game, that's relaying that message. Then why aren't we getting the ball to the tight end more often? You see it in the teams that are being more successful offensively. They have their tight ends heavily involved. Green Bay with Finley, and they got another guy too. You look over at, like you said, New England with their tight ends. You look at over at New Orleans and the use of their tight ends. These offenses that are being very successful with passing the ball, their tight ends are extremely involved with what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. I just think he's just a weapon that for some reason we can't get to work. I don't know why, but he's really got I guess he's had potential all along. But
again, a couple of years ago, he had 10 touchdowns. Last year, he had a bad year, didn't catch the ball well. Mm-hmm. This year's catching the ball better, by and large, although he had one drop today.
Yeah, he did. Maybe, again, it might be a thing that they don't trust him. But, you got to get some guys in there that you can trust at the tight end position. Because, like I said, it is, especially for him, his size, he's a big target.
Tremendous blocker too. When he's
good blocker, he can be an all around dominant tight end, but he's just not as big a factor in the passing game. For what reason, I don't know.
All right, Frank, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea is now just $1 at McDonald's. Any day, any size, anytime. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Back with more, including the carry of the day. Plus, we'll take more of your calls at 800-355-NFL1. This is the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. When you're looking for a department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville location. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to the carry of the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. What you got, Marco?
Jennings had an 8-yard carry.
And that was the best of the whole day.
That was the best of the day. I couldn't find anything. That was about it, man.
I'm going to give it to the folks from Corner Taco who carried some tacos over to us at the tailgate show.
Lovely lady. That was nice of her.
Great.
Thank you.
Good work by them. Another one of the Jack's food trucks, Jack's Truckies, doing a great job with the food truck expansion in Jacksonville. All right, Bob is at the beach. Bob, you're up on Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
I'm continuing the Mercedes Lewis talk here.
All right.
I got you, Bob.
12-11 in the second quarter. We're down, and there's a TV timeout, and the Jaguars are huddled now down the end zone. Who comes out on the field? Mercedes Lewis, and what does he do? He goes over and gives a couple of the Lions some love, brotherly love right there on the field. Starts back towards the huddle, forgot another guy, so he goes back and hugs the guy that he forgot. What happens? The Gabbert throws him a pass and he drops it. I mean, come on.
Hey, guess what,
We're
Bob?
Supposed to be playing football.
Bob, I saw the exact same thing, and I went crazy when I saw it.
Playing football. That's the enemy you're over there hugging.
Bob, I'm on your side 100%.
And I'm sitting there in the stand sweating.
Man,
you know?
I agree. I mean, different guys go about the same way, but I'll tell you,
attitude.
Bob.
It's attitude, fellas. They have the players. They got some players. It's attitude.
And it's got to be all the time.
And it's got to disseminate from the top. It's got to come from the president to the GM to the coach to the position coach. It's attitude.
I saw the exact same thing, Bob, and it bothered me,
and
too.
And too bad the fans weren't able to see that because it was a TV timeout.
Well, you know, the fans, well, anyone that was in the stands, if you were paying attention, you could have seen it, you know. And again, you know, I played for 14 seasons. I played in, I played for six different teams. So,
you were friends with everybody.
I knew everybody in the league. But one thing that I did not do during the course of the game at a timeout at any point was give somebody a hug or even fraternize like that. Now
you had guys you were very close with, worked out with in the offseason.
I just mentioned a little one story. Dorsey Levins played for Green Bay. Mm-hmm. We worked out together every year for about five or six seasons straight in a row. And we played against each other on a couple of occasions, and this was like my man. He coming at me, he's trying to chop my legs out from under me. Okay, but then at the same time, I'm trying to tear his head off. I mean, we never at any time before that game or during that game hugged each other or even act like we even knew each other. You know, we actually went out the way. And the thing is, it's almost like your brother. You know, if you're playing in the backyard with your brother, yeah, you love your brother, but you want to beat him. Okay, that's your friend. You haven't seen him in a while. But what you want to do during the course of this game, this is a modern gladiator type of event when you're talking about football. And in order to get that done, the edge that you need when the physicalities are so much even, you got to have some kind of mental edge when you're playing this game. And going and hugging guys, you know, during the course of a game, you can call me old school or whatever. I'm pretty sure Mercedes may not agree with it, but I don't think that it has a place during that time. You give them a quick little handshake and keep it moving. It's not about at a timeout. You need to be discussing what you got to do. And then the very next play, you drop a ball. Right there, it shows your lack of focus. You know, completely unfocused.
And I was going to say that if the next play he catches a touchdown, you're like, all right,
go hug everybody. Right. Go over there and hug the coach, everybody. But I mean,
hug it, a cop. Do something.
But I don't, it's just not. That's not the place, man. It's not that time. You know, before the game, you got all that time before the game when everybody's out there running around and warming up. Yeah, dap them up, hug them up. Okay, after the game. But in that 60 minutes, anybody that's wearing the other color jersey, it's got to be a genuine despise for that team and anybody that's got anything to do with them. Now, after it's over, you know, we can be the best buds.
All right. So, Bob, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL-1. Let's go to Todd on the south side. Todd, you're up.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I would like to ask a naive question about the tactic on offense of declaring a lineman eligible to receive a pass.
You have to.
The Lions did this in the first few plays. Yeah. They did it 13 times. They only used the player once to try to catch a pass.
Yes. So, in other words, why declare them eligible or why bring in another lineman?
Well, if it's just a diversion, as it looks as if the Lions used it that way, why shouldn't we do that on every play? Always have an extra person eligible.
Well, what happens is when you bring in that sixth lineman, he can't be a lineman. And so when you bring in a guy who has a lineman's number, something in the you know 50s or 60s or 70s, you have to declare him as the eligible receiver because it's a guy with a different number, you know, a number set coming in. Again, sometimes you'll see that, you know, a guy be utilized just as a blocker. But when you have a sixth guy who's got that number set on, you've got to declare who the eligible player is. So he can actually go out for a pass like we saw last week with Guy Wimper.
Exactly. Yep.
Sure, but the Lions did it 13 times. Only once did they send him out. He was blocking every other pass.
Whether he goes out for a pass or not, you still have to declare, if you bring in an extra big body, you have to declare who's the eligible guy.
Mm-hmm.
So when and you're talking about Riley Reiff, when he was brought in, they used him largely as a tight end or a fullback, basically, as a glorified tight end or fullback, which is usually what happens. Mm-hmm. You might recall a few years ago, the Jaguars had a tackle named Jordan Gross.
That's the guy in Carolina.
Jordan, I'm now forgetting the name. First name was Jordan. They brought him in, and he was utilized as I think like 31 times during the season. He was the tackle eligible. It doesn't make the other team go, oh, geez, now they're going to throw it to him. But you have to, if you bring in an extra big body, you have to know Jordan Black, by the way, is the name. Jordan Black.
Yeah, I remember. Yep, there
he is.
Good job.
We're all sitting around and going, I got to go. But yet you have to declare who that guy is in case you do throw it. The defense has to know who is eligible if he goes out.
So you're saying it doesn't distract our defense. Hey, we got to worry about this guy getting out there.
Well, you treat him as a tight end or a fullback or whatever, you know, wherever he lines up.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. All right. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-1. 877-381-6351. Ryan in Ponte Vedra, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. All right.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was the fan experience. My wife and I have had season tickets for 8 years now. We've constantly tried to move closer to the 50-yard line in the club. And I'm a small business owner. The tickets are not cheap. You know, but we wanted to be all in. Everybody's preaching this all in. Shad Khan comes in. Everybody, you know, we hire the new coach. All in, all in, all in. Everybody, I think the fans have done their part finally. We are all in. However, I don't feel ownership in some of the other people have done their part. This year we had 6 season tickets, you know, in the club section. And from the ticket brokers, from the ticket guys all the way up, you're right, it starts at the top. We were promised field passes this year if we got extra tickets to the game of our choice. I've tried every single game now the entire season to get field passes for our family. Not one time have we been able to get field passes. Oh, well, this, we get an excuse every time. Then comes the London situation. I wanted to get you guys advice on this, find out where you guys are on this. And so the team, we're going to have a home game in London. You know, we're finally all in. We're selling out the games. We're not having any blackouts. They want to take us to London for a game each year over the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. For us that have paid our hard-earned money, supported our team, we are now a 50-yard line, first-row club, and we've paid, and we've waited, and we've waited, and we've been all in for our team. And now they're telling us that every time I call up there, oh, we don't know what's going on yet. So are we going to be able to have our season tickets in London? Well, Wembley Stadium's not set up the same. So you're telling me that I've been all in with this team for this long. We put our hard-earned money out there. We've increased our tickets every single year. And then all of a sudden, when we're going to go to London, we want to go to the game, take our family to London for the game, support our team, and we're not going to be able to have our same seats in London. What do you guys feel about that? And wanted to see if you guys had any thoughts on that.
All right, let me address both of those. One, the field pass situation. I do know that there are a limited, you know, the league limits the number of passes you can hand out. So, and a lot of those go to sponsors and so forth, and some of them are.
Sure.
So, how that
they
falls?
Don't promise them.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But again, how that falls, I don't know the specifics of the situation. The London thing, obviously, you go from one stadium to the next, and it's going to be configured differently because every stadium is configured differently. And I do know just from having some conversations with people that some of what they're working through is the league had to get past having this last week's or whenever the most recent London game was before the league, because the league, you know, plays a big role in these London games. So they had to get past that one before they can start putting some of the specifics in place. Will you be able to get 50-yard line first row for the game in London? I don't know the answer to that. There absolutely will be tickets available for Jaguars season ticket holders, and you know, and packages that they're putting together for those people.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you there will be packages put together, because while certainly there's no expectation you're going to have 30,000 or 40,000 or 50,000 Jaguars fans fly over there for the game, there will certainly be something in the hundreds or thousands that will go over there.
I agree.
You know, people who will want to go over there, whether it's this year or sometime over the next 4 years. So the Jaguars want people who, you know, it only makes sense. Again, and I don't work in the ticketing office here, but I'm saying it only makes sense that if you have a fan who is so loyal, who wants to travel X number of hours across the ocean to go see your team play, you want them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to create something for them that is not just ticket to the game and here you go. But I think what you'll see is you'll create a number of different packages depending on when you want to go over and how much do you want it just taken care of for you, where you know it's turnkey, and how much do you want it where you have some of these other options for different things to make it kind of a vacation trip. My guess is there will be some people who will fly over there on Saturday, go to the game Sunday, fly back Sunday night kind of thing. And there'll be people who will say, hey, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to fly over there on Monday, make it a week-long thing.
So I guess my main concern is, do you feel that us as fans that have gone all in finally, and I don't think anybody can argue with that, do you feel that the fan experience, do you feel that the Jaguars as a whole, even though we're not putting the good product out on the field, we're doing the best we can with injuries, everything, do you feel that the fans are getting our money's worth at the moment? Do you really feel that we're getting back what we're putting out?
Well, here's what I'll tell you. I think that, and again, my office is here in the stadium, and I see the guys who work in ticketing, people work in fan experience, all this. I think I love
my ticket guy. He's awesome. Yeah. I mean, he's there for everything I need and more.
Okay, see, and so there's the answer to one part of that. I think from a fan experience, I think you've seen some things that have really been implemented here this year that have improved the fan experience here, whether you're talking about the speaker system or whether you're talking about the pregame, you know, the prowl, whatever else, new uniforms for the cheerleaders. All, you know, there are a lot of different things. Again, this is just the first step. The Jaguars, until this year, had never had a vice president of fan experience. They've hired.
I'm glad you mentioned that. The first step. I like that
yes.
you mentioned that.
So they've made that first step to hire that person and have, you know, a couple other people who are working, and that is their sole goal, to try to make the experience, without regard to what happens on the field, make the experience for fans who come to Everbank Field as good as it possibly can be. And I think that first step has definitely been taken. So, you know, Ryan, I will tell you this. You know, if in the next couple of weeks you haven't heard anything, call your ticket guy, who you know you're so happy with, and have him check on that stuff. But I think now that the league is past that London game with New England and St. Louis, that now I think you'll see. Some of those things start to coalesce a little bit. Again, I mean, we're talking, you know, you're a year off.
Absolutely.
So we got some time, but they do want to be able to put those things together so people can start making plans.
Yeah, we're excited. Like I said, we're all in.
Yeah.
Guys, I appreciate your candor. Thank you so much for your time. You guys have a great evening.
All right,
too,
Ryan. Thanks for
Take
the call.
Care, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't even know if I'm going over to London yet.
I hope we do, man.
I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. So far,
day at a time.
I got to grovel to Joe Fortunato so he'll bring me back for another season.
He's been threatening to put my neck on the chopping blocks too.
I may have to bring him a new coat.
You know, make sure it's
Daigle orange
make
or something.
Sure it's garnet.
get him another leather jacket.
Hey, bring the shoes to match.
That's what he needs. Alligator shoes. That's what we need to get. All right, you need a truck that works for you, even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest lasting, full size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. More of your calls when we come back. Matt, Debbie, Addie, and Quincy, I promise to get you all in. If you hang in, I'll get you all in when we come back, and we'll wrap things up here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Final segment here. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today, or do it tomorrow, or do it on Thursday as you get ready to come to the Jaguars and the Colts. Only chance to be in prime time this year, and remember what happened last year when the Jaguars played a game in prime time. Nobody thought they would win. Hey, I'm just trying to give you a little hope, you know, a little something. They beat the Ravens last time around. We'll see how it goes. I will say this: the night games are always great here. I mean, the fans. Again, my hat's off to the fans. You've endured a lot, and the atmosphere in the stadium, by and large, you know, we had the 1 year where there were two or three games right after the economy tanked, and people, you know, that was when a lot of this, you know, bad reputation started. The truth of it is, that bad reputation was a one-off. That was an anomaly. Jaguars fans show up, and they turn out. And,
yes, they do.
And they do. They want to see better than what they're being shown. Let's go to the west side. Matt, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good,
hey,
Matt.
Hey there.
Good. Yeah, I have an issue of being season ticket holder now for since day one. And for today, as well as last year's Saints home game, I got kicked out of my seat for standing up before the game started, rooting on for the Jaguars. Now, in terms of home field advantage, what does that say when a Detroit fan goes to a security officer and says, they're standing, they need to sit down? You know, and I've been to the Jaguars.
Wait. You're telling me a Detroit fan told you to sit down? Went to a security guy, told you to sit down. Are you in the family fun zone?
I am not. I'm in section 233, right next to the club seats on the east side. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was in section 128 last year.
Yeah.
And I was told by police officers that I have to get arrested or sit down. So my question is,
I'm curious. This just blows my mind. So, at what point? This is in pregame and pregame warmups, or in introductions,
today,
or what?
Today it was the Lions were coming onto the field, and I was told by people behind me to sit down. I turned around and say,
I'm a Jags fan for day one. I like to stand for at least the first offense and defensive possession.
All right.
Right then and there, they went and got a security person to tell me to sit out. So, you know, we're all in. I've heard the last few callers say we're all in. We want to go to London and all that. When do we get actual home field advantage? Because I'll tell you what, if you go to Ford Field, if you go to anywhere, you know, the Giants Stadium, I've been there. I've been to the Patriots there. You know, Gillette. If you go anywhere else and you go to a security office and you say, so-and-so wants me to sit down, they'll laugh in your face and tell you, I don't think so.
Yeah. All right, listen, Matt, here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna bring this up with the vice president of fan experience.
And, been there, done that last year.
No, you didn't, because that position didn't exist last year. So this is a senior position that now, again, that's been created this year. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to mention that, so it's something that they're aware of. And then they can do a little investigation.
Let me interrupt you, because I will say that the Jaguars have done nothing but accommodated us. This, like I said, today we got kicked out of our seats. We ended up in the club seats, which was fine. But I'm paying, you know, my seats. I don't want to have to move seats every game because I want to cheer on my home team, being the Jaguars.
So somebody from the Jaguars moved you into the club after that complaint. Is that what happened?
Correct. Which is fine. I got to tell you, the Jaguars, ever since Colin took over and his son and all that, they are fantastic in customer service. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But what does that say when opponents are coming in saying, ha ha ha, this isn't your hometown anymore, this is us? It goes back to 1999, you know, when the Titans and Fisher were saying, oh, it's our second home. Is it? I mean, because, you know, since, like I said, since day one, I stand up and I support my Jaguars.
Yeah.
So I'm getting in trouble for that. What's going on with that?
Right, I'll bring this up. Make sure the Jaguars know about it. And number two, I'm going to suggest that next year you buy seats with a rail right behind you, and because I want you standing up, I want you making noise. I want you.
I've been to many college games where you don't sit out.
No, listen.
I don't understand what's going on.
I didn't. You know, when I was a college student in Kansas at basketball games, we didn't sit down the whole time. And that's.
That's what's up.
You create that atmosphere. I mean, that's just the way it is. All right. Matt, thank you for the call. And like I said, hey, keep standing up. Stand up for your right. You know what I mean?
Get up. Stand up.
There you go. Don't give up the fight, man. All right. Let's go to Debbie in Georgia, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, good. Debbie.
Good. I have a few things to say. Me and my husband and some of our friends, we've been original season ticket holders right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the Jumbotron at the beginning when they were getting ready to come out to the field. And that's the most dead, no life in their butt looking bunch of guys coming down through the tunnel. And they kind of played that way. And I know everybody's tired of hearing Tebow, but really what it is we need somebody that has some life in them, some excitement, that actually gets excited about the football. I love football. I love my Jaguars. But our seatmates are going to be giving up their tickets if they don't start acting like they have some heart. And that scene of them walking out, you know, and just ho-hum, you know, we're getting ready to go do our job, because that's all it is a job. They don't act like they live for football.
That's tough.
I mean, does that do you get what I'm feeling? And all of our friends will tell you that I am crazy rabid about football. And I'm begging people to go to the games with me. I'm begging people not to give their seats up.
The team
has got to help me.
Yeah,
we got to have something to cheer about. And what they were talking about, Mercedes Lewis, that was a prime example of it. It's like, yeah, hey, y'all are my buddies.
But see, again,
instead of going out there and
Debbie,
kicking butt.
Debbie, my thought on this, though, is if he goes out there and says, yeah, hey, you're my buddies, and then he goes in and he catches a pass and runs over two guys, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that.
Same thing. That's not what we're seeing.
Listen, same thing with the prowl. if those guys walk out there with focus in their eyes and not yelling and whooping and screaming and hollering, and they go out and play great, you think, boy, they were really focused. If they go out there without, you know, yelling and screaming and hollering, and they don't play well, you think, boy, they just weren't into it. So it's really more, it's not, I think we overanalyze this stuff. And we try to look for, you know, Marco's kind of joking around about the prowl out there. Oh, they're walking too far, that sort of, you know. They play well, everything that they've done seems like it's the right thing. When you play well, you know, suddenly all sins are wiped away.
Yeah, but I'll say this. This is a very emotional sport, you know, and you have to carry those emotions throughout the whole game. And when you and you can't wait until you have a big play to have that emotion. Yeah. You know, it starts not even when you come walking through the tunnel.
But
when
some guys need to be are yellers and screamers.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody does it differently. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is a yeller and a screamer. It's not that. I'm just saying that the emotion, and everybody expresses it in a different way because everybody's different. And it has to be genuine. What you see with Ray Lewis, that's a genuine deal there. That's his deal. That's him.
Yeah.
You know, and for a lot of guys. But at the same time, I did intentionally watch and look at the sideline prior to the game just to see what the body mannerisms are and who – you got to have at least one or two of those type of guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They kind of get things – like with John Henderson getting that smack in the face. You know what I mean? He didn't say nothing. He was just coming in. Matter of fact, he was in the training room. Probably nobody even saw that until it hit – you know, exactly.
Yeah.
But you got to have guys that have that memory. It's not always – you just see it. They're already fired up before they hit the ground, but they don't have to wait till a big play comes. I see a lot of guys, they wait, okay, and they're kind of waiting to get a big play. Now I'm excited. Nah, yeah, it's too late then, you know. And
by the way, particularly on the defensive side, that's right. That's
yeah, that's
being fired up and playing emotionally with passion on the defense
and reckless.
On the offensive side, it's more surgical, tactical, right?
But you got to have a couple. And a lot of times it's not so much – those aren't the guys that are going to be more of the rah-rah guys.
You got a guard or a fullback.
Yeah, somebody's got to be – I mean, it's got to be one or two of those guys. Yeah. And right now you really don't see that with any of the guys on Jaguars until, of course, they make a play.
Yeah, and then guys get fired up.
Yeah, exactly.
800-355 – Debbie, thanks for the call. 355-NFL-1. Let's go to Adi, who's driving from the game to Valdosta. Adi, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. I'm good, man.
These rides are getting longer and longer, I can tell you that much for sure.
Drive safely, all right?
I got a quick question and paint a little picture. I guess it's a comment, really. As far as the talent on the team goes, it's been so just not there, man. It starts with, you know, even Britton. He's not even starting anymore. Justin Blackman looks like he's walking out there. Blaine Gabbert. He shows something at times, but other times he's walking too slow to the huddle, just not doing the right things, overthrowing guys, throwing double coverage like he did today. Just not there. Even Terrence Knight, not there. Alu-Alu, not there. You know, where do we go with that? I mean, how is that possible that we can be is it that much bad luck, or is it injuries? What is it? You know, I need some answers.
Well, I think there's a lot of things, and I think those are all questions that are going to have to be answered as the season, you know, continues and wraps up as you start to look forward. Yes, injuries are part of the story. You mentioned Evan Britton. Obviously, he's been a little banged up.
Yeah.
But you also have, I mean, he also moved from right tackle to left guard. So you have a position change mixed in there. You know, you mentioned Knight and Alu-Alu. Well, last week they played very well, right? This week, again, without going back and looking at the film,
they got smashed.
They got moved around, right? Again,
But
my point is, you can take a snapshot of one game, and you can decide that's what the truth of the matter is. But I think you have to take a wider view, and everybody is right now. And it's normal and natural when a team's 1-7, everybody's trying to figure out, okay, where's this going? What's happening next? What's going to happen next? Well, again, nothing can happen next from a personnel standpoint until after the season.
Right.
Right.
There are, again, I think there are some premium positions in the National Football League. Left tackle, pass rusher, cover corner, quarterback. Those are your four most premium positions in this day and age in the National Football League. The fact that the Jaguars have spent a first-round pick on left tackle looks like a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Monroe playing very well.
Quarterback
remains to be seen. They spent they traded a second-round pick and then used a third to take Derek Cox, which, when he's out on the field and healthy, looks like, again, mm-hmm. good young player. And then they used a second-round pick on Andre Branch. Hadn't done a whole lot this year. Still coming. But again,
spent money redid Mincy's contract. I mean,
yep.
if that's
right.
something you want to consider.
Yep. So some of those premium positions, that's where, you know, when you get a big performance from those premium positions, I mean, then that's when you win games. Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, again, their offensive line hasn't been fantastic, and Charles Woodson, I mean, as an example,
mm-hmm.
or Tremaine Williams. I mean, they've got – you go around, look at the teams that are doing well in the National Football League. Those are the positions where they have outstanding players. But they don't – most of those positions, you don't stand out as a rookie. Most of those positions, it takes two or three or 4 years before you're really dominant. It can be a really dominant player, those positions. So
but
that's where they are.
Earlier, you guys said earlier, you know, look at Matt Ryan. Look at mm-hmm. Clay Matthews. Let me just mention him. As far as I see it now, Cox is hurt majority of the time. We can both agree on that. I mean, he's hurt most of the time. Eugene Moreau is playing pretty well, definitely, for sure. But he's also, everybody's going to the other side so they can get to Gabbert. Gabbert's shown some glimpses. But then again, is it enough? You know, if he's not passing the ball forward, he's not doing that stuff instead of, yeah. you know, like you guys said,
We'll see on. I think we'll have much more information on Gabbert by the time the season is over. I mean, right now it's an I don't know, right?
Let me paint a picture for you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Let's say we go 1-15, 2-14. What do you guys do? And I'll leave you with that. I just want to give a shout out to Saqib. He's a true fan, and tell him to keep his head in there.
My man.
Rock bottom is only so far, and I think up from there. So. I'll let you guys go. Thanks for taking my phone call.
All right. Yeah. Well, in terms of I think how you get to 1-15 or 2-14 might matter.
I don't know,
because if you're talking about if your defense falls apart, but you're putting up big numbers and losing games, it's going to affect what you do in the offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hypothetical, and there's so many things to do there. Let's hold off on that till we get there. Right?
That's cool.
Let's hold off on the hypothetical. Let's hold off on the what to do in the offseason.
Let's just
again,
look forward to a win
November
on Thursday.
It's November 4th. Let's wait. Let's deal with where we are here at the halfway post.
Let's get to 2-7.
I'll take that too. All right, last call of the day. It'll be Quincy on the south side. Quincy, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Quincy.
Good, Quincy.
Hey, my thing is, why is it that Gabbert likes to throw a lot of these short passes? I mean, only when we get desperate, we seem to try to go up the field. Why not come out firing it like that right off the bat?
You know, one of the things that Gabbert has told me is that his job as a quarterback is to get the ball in the hands of the guys who can make plays. And so that was certainly programmed into him in college when they ran a spread passing game mm-hmm. in Missouri. A lot of short passes, a lot of quick decisions. Get it out. One of the things that the Jaguars coaches want from Gabbert is for him to slow down his clock so he doesn't feel like after 1.2 seconds he's got to get rid of it. Wait till 1.6 seconds, or I'm using numbers randomly, or after 2.2 seconds he doesn't have to just get it to the safety valve. Wait till 3 seconds, whatever that is. Like one more beat. Just wait one more beat and then give it to the safety valve if you have mm-hmm. to. And that's what they want to see. And when you do that, you do two things. One, you give your receivers time to run more complex routes, double moves, that sort of thing, or deeper routes.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, it also creates more green space in the offense because you're pulling the back end of the defense further away from the line of scrimmage. So then the short dump-offs will be more successful because you have fewer guys around. Guys will have to come a longer way to get to you at that point. So having that patience to sit in there, and it's a recalibration, quite honestly, because I think this is different than the chuck and duck we saw last year. This is more about when he thinks he has to get rid of it, just in the course of the progression.
Yeah, I really think in that first half, you have normally – they have the first 15 plays scripted.
Yep.
But they went three and out, and you know they only got nine plays in. So they never could get to the point to where they got to the play to where they were going down the field. A lot of times you go down the field after you've kind of established something where you bring in the safeties, you're drawing them in because they're
That's my point. Right. They're not establishing anything.
Well, they did in the day. They did in the day early.
I never see them, okay, if they're not using because of the injuries, we run a lot of single back, you know, a lot of ace formations. Why don't they try some more combo routes?
Yeah.
Or you know, this guy here, I just
– What one of the things that they've done, again, with a new offense, one of the things they put a lot in early on. Then I think you saw them start to pare it down a little bit, try to be, you know, try to take pull away some things so there's less to worry about. Again, so these young players can say, can really focus on the stuff they need to know to run that week.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pulled it down. Now I think, you know, it's that balancing act with a young team, a young offense, is at what point do you start to loosen the controls on things and let them go a little bit. And
well,
so,
I understand that young offense, but most of these guys have been playing football all their lives. Everybody knows what a dig route is, a go route.
Yeah, but that's not what it's about.
Quincy,
that's not what it's about, because I'll tell you this. In the NFL, the expectation of precision in route running is way different than it is in college. It just is. Justin Blackmon could get away with rounding off a route or not being precise in college. And he did. He was a great receiver in college.
That's what I'm saying. They should know how to run their routes and run the routes correctly and grab a deliver. I look at every other offense in the league, and it's like it's effortless. They go down the field. They make plays. I'm not saying just the premier quarterbacks.
Quincy, I'll tell you this. Listen.
This guy here is just.
Quincy, I'll tell you this. They have got to be more like they were in Green Bay than they were today in that first half, okay? I mean, there's no doubt about that. Again, we're at the midway point. We'll see what happens as the season plays out.
They didn't play well. I mean, that first half was terrible.
First half was an awful performance offensively.
And like I said, you got those 15 plays that they always draw up. Most, and I'm pretty sure they do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and if you can only get to the third play of the script, you know, that it might have been that the seventh play was the one that we're going for the bomb. And they never got there. Mm-hmm. They never got there. You know, there's so much of it that, you know, the coaches try to stay pat as to what the plan is. We're going to do this until we can establish something. In that first half, they never got a chance to establish it, one, because they were three and out, and then two, because the defense couldn't get off the field. So there it is. You know, you get the second half, they go to a no huddle, you see a whole different offense. So, you know, it'll come.
Quincy, hopefully. Thanks for the call. We're going to wrap things up.
All right,
here.
Q.
Remember, Jaguars Thursday night this week. So you get the full coverage here. Tomorrow night, Mike Mularkey Show. Tuesday, Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King, John Osher, and myself. And then Wednesday, Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. It'll be Osher, Sexton, Loggeman, Buscelli live at Latitude 30 from 6 until 8. And then on Thursday, it is an 8:20 kickoff. So, Joe Fortunato, we take to the air with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Whenever they let it. Probably sometime around 5:20 or so. Something like that. Anyway, just be listening, and we'll see how things go. Hope to see you at the stadium. Jaguars, midway through the season, first half, ain't going to be good enough. They need to turn things around in the second half. Thanks for listening, and good night from Jaguar Central.